Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 19th of January. I'm your host, Paul White. Glad you're with me as we work through 1 Corinthians 15, 36, 37. I've been on this passage for a couple of days. Let's reread 36 and then into 37. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. Let's read 38. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Now, this sounds like a bizarre way to describe resurrection, but it really isn't that bizarre at all in an agrarian sense. It's a farming term, and it's one that's not unfamiliar to the early church. And I'll show you why in a moment. We've been asking you for a couple days to hone in on John 12. And I focused you back on my teaching from the studies in John Lesson 71. So I think you kind of know where we're going with that. But in case you haven't followed the studies in John series, in case you haven't had a chance to run over and look at John 12, 24, this is a farming metaphor for when a seed goes into the ground, it's covered in soil, it's choked out in essence, it goes into the ground, and the term they use is in this text and in our John 12 text is it goes into the ground and dies. And once it, quote unquote, dies, it's then able to spring forth as something else. 37, what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain. So you're not getting the end result. Like take a stalk of corn, for instance. You don't take a 6 foot, 8 foot tall stalk of corn and pull it out of the ground and then drop it into dirt and cover it up. You take the seed, the kernel, the corn kernel, and put that in the ground. You're not burying the end result. You're burying a seed to get to the end result. Paul's point is one body doesn't necessarily look like or function as the first body. So you're thinking in terms of what needs to go in doesn't necessarily look like what will come out. So what will come out is the resurrected portion. So what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Let's go to John 12. We've told you about this for a couple days. The purpose of this passage contextually is this follows the resurrection of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a literal man who dies in a literal body and literally dies. And the 4 days is to really help solidify that literal death. And then is raised up in a real body. Now, we don't get to interview Lazarus. We don't get to talk to him. In fact, we never hear him speak. And the interesting thing to me is that the lead-in to his resurrection, Jesus talks about if a man believes in him, he'll never die, but he'll live. And Jesus asks in John 11, 26, do you believe this? It's a powerful question. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And he's asking this to a woman who just lost her brother. We would struggle with this. If Jesus came to the funeral of someone you loved and you said, oh, Jesus, you're here, he can live again. And Jesus said to you, if a man believes in me, he won't die. Do you believe this? We might be tempted to say, well, what are you trying to say about Lazarus? That he didn't believe because he died? Which tells me that maybe our understanding of what Jesus is talking about and Jesus' intent are two different things. So Jesus is speaking in terms of the spiritual. Of course, he's going to physically raise Lazarus from the dead, but he's preaching a spiritual message to us. The spiritual message is a man believes in him, even though he dies, he lives. Why? Because he never really died. And that's the whole purpose. Is that he never really died. Because to me, you know, to Jesus, all live. John 12, you have the anointing of Jesus' body at Bethany. This is following the resurrection of Lazarus. This is an anointing in anticipation of his death and the fact that he won't be in the tomb very long. There's a plot that develops among the leaders of Israel, of the Jews, to kill Lazarus, which is an interesting plot. I'll not get too deep into that now. I recommend you jump into our teachings in this in the studies in John. And the Pharisees are worried because of what Jesus has done in raising Lazarus from the dead. And then this happens, beginning in John 12, 20. There were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Let me stop there. This is an interesting, that word fruits, or the word grain literally is the word fruit. So the grain of wheat has to go into the ground. Notice what Jesus says. It has to go into the ground and die. Contextually, he doesn't, this is the way I see this, he doesn't have time. He's on his way to the cross. He can't stop and speak to these Greeks. The only way to really transform their lives is for him to go into the, quote unquote, into the ground and die. The answer for the Greeks who come to meet Jesus is not meeting Jesus. It's Jesus going to the cross to meet them in a resurrected reality. And so Jesus' message is, it's time to be glorified. The only way that the grain of wheat can produce fruit is if it dies alone. So the phrase Jesus is making is the same phrase Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 15, that if you're going to get the end result, which is fruit, you're going to have to go into the ground and die. So there has to be a death in order for there to be a resurrection. I believe that in Hebrews, whenever that famous passage that we always quote, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. I believe if we would read verse 28, we might get an idea into where the early church, what they thought about the cross and the resurrection. Let's read Hebrews 9:27 and 28 together. "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." What's that mean? Man has an appointment with death, and that appointment has a judgment. So Christ died once for sin. Notice the connection. Christ died for sin because you are supposed to die and be judged. So for Christ, in John 12, the only way to affect the Greeks that come to him in John 12 is to go into the ground and die. Why? Because they have an appointment with that death, and he is going to meet that death. And that's that definition of death that leads to a resurrection. I read this, I've been dealing with this with you, because in 1 Corinthians 15:37. Paul, "What you sow, you don't sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, to each seed its own body." What goes in is not what comes out. And that has such implications in the story of Paul's definition of resurrection. And we're going to go deeper into that definition as we work heading into verse 39 on tomorrow's Deeper Daily Podcast. I hope you have a great day. God bless.